Hello and welcome to A Little Too Quiet. This is the Ferndale Library Podcast, brought to you by the Friends of the Ferndale Library. My name is Jeff Milo. I'm joined here by Kelly Bennett. And we're also joined by a visual artist of mixed mediums, Dahlia Reyes, who is going to be exhibiting here in this library very soon later in this year of 2020. And that's right, this library hosts art exhibitions throughout the year, and we have really excellent art receptions where you can meet these local artists, you can hear their story and see their amazing work. And we have a lot to talk to about with Dahlia, because she does some amazing work, including very recently the Cosmic Disco Vortex.
Yes.
Which you hung at the UFO Factory. Who doesn't want to go to anything called the Cosmic Disco Vortex?
I know.
but there was
the cosmos and disco together.
You also had a planet disco.
Yeah, that was at the Motor City Brewing Works.
And a Venus Garden.
Yes.
Rainbow Body.
Yes, Rainbow Body at Ann Arbor.
I'm sensing a theme of a lot of energies here.
Yes, all like cosmic, be a little bit of new agey. My mom grew up in a very new agey household.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I got a little bit of that too. And a little bit of the surrealism through these album covers that were super influential.
Listeners can't see, obviously, because this is a podcast, but there's a giant book on the table, and it is Mati and the Music.
Yes, and it's all 52 of the record covers.
A lot of folks would recognize the work from Miles Davis, sure.
Yes, Miles Davis, Bitches Brew.
Yeah, amazing stuff. And this is an influence for you.
Yes, I think when I was growing up, I think I was very intrigued by the imagery. And it was actually a Santana record cover called Abraxas.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad was a super huge fan, had all of their records. And that one in particular was really stuck in my mind, and I thought it made me think of how art could just be so dreamy. It's also how I kind of came up with a Dreamy Lover moniker.
Mm-hmm.
So
I'm seeing, based on what I saw on display, especially a piece like this. Again, this is not good for radio or podcasting, but Exterminating Angel from 1968, just the arc of all of those orbits over that mountain,
right?
I'm seeing that come in.
Such incredible detail.
Yeah.
In everything.
Such
disciplined work. So that was my influence. There are a lot of amazing artists, old masters, Raphael, Michelangelo. But I think for me, it was what my parents had hanging up at our house growing up. That was the introduction.
Mm-hmm.
That and in children's books.
Really?
Obviously children's books, because it was, they were so creative growing up.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I might be mispronouncing this. There was an illustrator from the 60s and 70s. Was it Eric Carl or Eric Carley?
Yes.
The gentleman who made the Hungry, Hungry Caterpillar.
Yes, I was going to try to come up with his name, too. Mm-hmm. I'm glad that you did. Mm-hmm.
Very formative picture book for me.
Mm-hmm.
I have to just rattle off some resume points for you. You've been an artist for more than 15 years now.
Yes.
Or a professional artist.
Right, professional. But I've been making art
since
very young. I don't know. I guess, how old are you when you're in, first, second grade?
Six?
Yeah, when you're young.
Yeah.
I have, old drawings from that long ago. It was But it runs in my family. My grandfather was an artist.
Wow. That's amazing. And stuff was hanging in your home. Works by your parents?
Mm-hmm. Not my parents, my grandfather.
Wow.
Sorry. Yeah.
Wow.
My mom's dad. So I think I inherited some of that through them.
Mm-hmm.
And also just because my parents were very, they loved to host people.
Mm-hmm.
They liked they loved music.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that was a big thing.
And just bringing people into a space. Which you could talk about. I mean, I want to talk about a lot of things that you do, but you were the exhibitions and event manager for Detroit Artist Market.
Yes, for 3 years.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I did that for 3 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was great, because that was right after I was working at the fellowship program, the Kresge Arts in Detroit program,
mm-hmm.
and I was also installing work in hospitals at the time.
Oh, really?
I was placing art in all of, it would have been Oakwood Hospitals then, which is now Beaumont,
mm-hmm.
I think. But I was placing all of their art, and they had 12 little small galleries, and I would install the art there. And I thought that was really great, because you get to see what, you know, everyday people and how they respond to art. You know, they don't have this art background,
right,
that they're like, oh, they, you know, there's like this critique thing that happens if you know about art. And, you know, it's a, I don't know.
Right.
Like music too.
Right.
So
for lack
good.
Of a better description, it's just like on a gut level. They
right.
walk
it's
up
very
to it
human.
And they see it.
Yes.
They knew it's
mm-hmm.
good. It makes them feel good.
Right.
They don't have
right.
to know the technique.
And that was kind of influential to what I started making after that.
Mm-hmm.
Wanting people to kind of be in the moment and experience things and not being so specific. Like those surrealist paintings are very specific. They're so tight and
yeah.
beautiful. And I like that, but I also like the idea of having the viewer dream that up for themselves.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
So I tend to go back and forth.
Yeah. I like that imagery of a vortex, of a
mm-hmm.
disco vortex. I feel like that's something I'm getting lost in.
Yeah.
That you're inviting me into.
Right.
And
yeah, it's kind of like up to you. Because I never really... You know, do you guys go to many museums? Do you like going to museums?
I do.
You know, and I remember growing up and going to one and thinking, like, coming across something very conceptual and being like, well, what the hell? You know, I'm being like mad, like being so mad, like, what are they trying to do here? And why do they get to do this? You know, and it's about, you know, the concepts and the thought process. And that, I really like that. I
yeah.
really like that you can do that as an artist. Help people kind of think in an abstract way,
mm-hmm.
but also I don't like it when it gets too far out there.
Yeah.
You know, I like to be able to meet people,
right?
And that's why I kind of like artists like, I love the surrealism, but I also like Keith Haring, because I felt like it was very approachable. Like you could, you know, come across it, and it was just kind of friendly, but it could also talk about very serious
right.
things like AIDS and all these things,
right? So making a connection with the viewer of the work is very
mm-hmm.
important.
And yes.
You would be against a banana duct taped to a wall.
Yes.
For example.
It's just not for me, you
right,
know?
Right.
You know, I don't know. I like when you feel like you can take away something.
Yeah.
From the experience. And also, I don't know, I think visual art is just, you know, one facet of, you know, creativity, just
yeah.
like music and dance. And I like to be able to meld experiences if I can.
Yeah. So we talked about you being a 6-year-old.
Yes.
And we've talked about you getting out of art school.
Yes.
But I mean, were you also just through your high school days also creating art?
In my high school, I think my high school times, it was like that's when I needed art the most, but I was making the least art at
okay.
that time.
Okay.
I was kind of like a bad kid.
Uh-oh. What school did you go to?
I went to Western International High School.
Okay.
It's in Southwest Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really great school. I don't know. I was like a rebellious kid.
Mm-hmm.
I always was a passionate art lover and into it, but I felt like not challenged in the art department there. So
mm-hmm.
I kind of was just like, whatever, I'm too cool right now, or whatever,
mm-hmm.
however you are in high school.
Right.
But it wasn't until after that that I got really serious. And I'm still very close with a lot of those first professors that I had for art class.
That's great. That's yeah. great. That's a tricky
mentorship,
time.
Mentorship, yeah.
To be that
yes.
age, because a teenager naturally rebels against structure.
Yeah.
Then to have the concept of an art class,
mm-hmm.
and the class is structured, and art doesn't feel like it should be structured.
Right.
So no wonder you rebelled.
Yeah, I was like this, you know, I was so angry. I was an angsty teenager.
Wait, but I wanted to ask, you're also in art education, though.
Well, I teach, not really educate, I teach like an open studio.
Okay.
For neighborhood kids in Southwest Detroit. It's called the Alley Project. And
but it is a form of teaching. You're
yeah,
a facilitator.
Yeah, so, yep. So I bring in projects.
Yeah.
You know, I try to bring in just different things that they might not come across in their high school, you know.
Yeah.
Because a lot of students, at least, I don't know, outside of Detroit, like they're getting a lot of like advanced processes like ceramics and glass and like... Some of the kids in the inner city schools don't get that. So
right.
I bring in like whatever I learned, because I went to college for creative studies. So
mm-hmm.
I take that experience and I think, okay, how can I apply this so that you guys can be ready for, you know, putting together a portfolio, your website, or just coming up with characters? Because people, especially like young kids, love anime. They just go crazy over
of
anime.
Of course, they do here
just
in the library.
Identify with it so much. And, you know, some of them really want to develop their own characters, and they don't have the, they don't identify with being artists yet. They're like, oh, I like this, but I don't know if they see it as a, I don't know, like a respected thing, or I don't know what it is, but
they might just
when they come in, then they leave like, oh, I'm really good at this. I'm an artist. You know, this is my thing.
Right.
And I think that was really helpful for me knowing that early on.
Yeah.
Because I had some direction.
Yeah.
I wasn't like figuring it out all the time. I really loved art.
Sure.
Forever.
Sure. They might not have the self-confidence to say they're an artist either.
Right.
Too.
Right.
And that's a, this is.
So this, that gives them confidence.
For sure.
Like, oh, you're really good at this. So I have them design like t-shirts or something for the class.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, I think that's really empowering.
Well, however we call it, education, teacher, facilitator, if you're engaging with youth and you are connecting to them, that's something marvelous. It's not something everyone can do, and especially not something every artist can do. Sometimes the stereotypical vision is you're an artist in your studio working on your craft, and you do shows, and you don't worry about passing it on.
Right.
You're just worrying about your next masterpiece.
Thing.
Yeah.
You know, and everybody that asked me about this, because that wasn't really my direction. I had that choice when I was at CCS, and I just chose like a very broad department, just fine art. You can kind of do a lot of different things, but education kind of felt a little bit scary for me. I was like, ah.
It scares me too.
You know, and then a few of these like neighbor after school programs kind of fell in my lap, and that really worked out for me, and it kind of opened me up like in a new way as far as my art practice. Like, you kind of can't take yourself too seriously around kids because they like call you out.
Oh yeah.
On everything.
Our youth librarians know it all too well.
You know, and it was the best thing for me. It was really the best thing because I started that after leaving, because I was working in the gallery world for like 13 years, and I quit. I quit that, and then just kind of started doing my own thing. And the after school teaching kind of came in, and just it was the best thing that probably could have happened to me.
Man,
that time, you know, for my art and for a lot of things, just realizing like you get kind of jaded after a while. You know, you forget like the reasons why you get passionate about music or art, because you work in art or music.
Yeah.
So being around them like kind of reignited some of that passion. Like, oh yeah, this is kind of why I like this.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, that's great. I do want to get into the gallery world and being a gallery assistant and aiding in the production of exhibitions and all that stuff.
Yes.
But let's not get too far ahead. Let's go back to you being a teenager and a 6-year-old again. You know, you're on a library podcast. You've never been on a library podcast. You know, do you have memories of visiting your libraries in your youth?
Yes,
Tell me all about it.
I have really great memories of visiting my library. One, the library in our high school was really wonderful as well. But we had a local library called Bowen Branch Library in Southwest, and it was great. They would show like kind of obscure old cartoons, you know, like they would have movie nights and they would show cartoons. There's still a movie that I saw there that I have never been able to find that I've tried to, I don't even know how to research it, but like it's blown my mind. And I'm like,
I'm imagining for a child audience.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. It was like a fairy tale or something, but I feel like it wasn't from the US. I feel like maybe it was like a European or something. It was obscure. It was very cool.
Did it, you know,
ignite
your imagination?
Yes.
Especially the animation.
Yeah, it did. Yeah. It really did. And just that you can go to the library and get access to a lot of things, you know. The kind of bad part was that library would close, and there wasn't, I think the closest one maybe was like the Detroit main one downtown. Mm-hmm. So we would have to go to like a bookstore.
Ah, yes.
And that's what replaced the library experience. But now it's back on.
True.
So we're good.
True. That's
pretty.
But
there was a lull, you know. But
yeah. That's pretty cool for your parents, though, to say, all right, well, the library is closed for a second. Access to books is still important. We're going to get to the bookstore.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I was going to ask, again, just the stereotype of the artist who was working on their own stuff. I think, I don't know how many artists actually get involved in the gallery world. So
right.
2004, 2005, you get into the gallery world.
Right.
Tell us about that.
Yes.
Because people visit galleries all the time.
Exactly.
They don't know all the...
That was my first job when I went to Henry Ford Community College, right?
Okay.
Because I didn't want to go right into a university. I was really burned out after... I was a bad student. I was like so burned out after high school. I was like, don't want to go back. But I'm so happy that I did because I met so many great people there. Now they're at college. Anyway, so I went to Henry Ford, got my first gallery job there for their gallery, Sisson Art Gallery, and I was their gallery sitter there.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to meet a lot of wonderful artists that from then and now I've met, like I've helped install their art. Just it's been an amazing experience to still keep in touch with some of these artists that I like met when I was just... You know, I don't know, 18, 19.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that is an art unto itself, is arranging it and finding where it goes on the wall.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. And, you know, figuring out how the operations part of all that. I've been doing it for so long now. I don't know. It's hard. And like, I know there's a lot to say about it, but it's like, it's kind of a simple thing.
Mm-hmm.
we just have receptions and it's a lot of networking, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but there must be some things you love most about it, I gotta say, just to...
The artists.
Oh, yeah?
Talking to the artists, supporting the artists. I think supporting the artists or figuring out a way that I could do that was the reason that I got into the gallery work. And also I thought, oh, I'll always be immersed in art. I can still be inspired and still have my own art practice at the same time. But... It takes a lot of discipline. It takes so much. I figured that out because I had this 3-year hiatus of not doing any kind of gallery work and feeling a little bit jaded after, like, oh, I can't even go to a gallery right now.
Yeah.
I mean, now I kind of, I'm able to balance it more, you know.
Well,
it's just, there's a lot, you know.
I think that it's...
Dealing with artists.
What about the idea of just...
And it helps that I'm an artist, too.
Yeah.
Because I understand where the majority of their focus is on the art. So there's all this business practices part of it that they must kind of complete.
Mm-hmm.
So we help them kind of create a package to package themselves to be able to go out there and, you know, show their art.
Right.
To be able to say, oh, do you have an artist statement?
You know?
Those are all things that maybe an artist that is self-taught, they might not, you know, they might not know how important it is to have these things. Just like when you're applying for anything, you know, you have to go through their process.
Right.
So a gallery kind of does that all for you. So it's a partnership.
Yeah. I was thinking about just the sense of community that must be important to have for an artist in terms of supporting them, because I would presume that it's got to be harder than ever. Well, there's got to be ups and downs to being an artist in the 21st century when people
It's not easy.
Right.
It's not easy.
We can do...
Just like it's not easy for musicians sometimes or anybody, you know, just in the creative field in general.
We could Google search some Dali on our phone right now and look at it, but come on.
Right.
Why? You got to get out into that gallery, right? You know, so just even just the work of encouraging people and reminding them what the, you know, sort of the fulfillment of coming out to a space, being in public and seeing work.
Yes. And I also like it's a very deliberate of the valuing of the artist and the art. You know, you're doing, we're valuing it. We're putting value towards somebody's work. Somebody has worked hours and hours and ideas and, you know, that's their babies. You're working on, you're looking at people's, you know, kind of inner workings of their mind, you know, I love it.
Right.
And then they're slapping a price on it.
So, well, true.
It's wild.
True.
It's so wild.
It sounds like we're getting on a soapbox, but it's not unreasonable to be asking for this the same way a band would risk if they are in a bar coming, their music falling into the background.
Mm-hmm.
People might walk into a room and art on the wall is just sort of their periphery. Mm-hmm. They risk taking it for granted, and we can't have that.
Right.
We do have to have that value placed.
Right.
So.
Right. And I think just creating opportunities for other artists. For artists in general,
I think
you go to other countries, you go to Europe, like art and culture and everything is like such part of everyday life. You know, it's just everywhere. You're living in it, and here there's always a separation. You know, you have to go to a place to see that, and there's public art. Now we're getting in a better time where we have like a lot of these mural initiatives and programs and grants.
Murals
and
in the market.
For murals in the market and public art, but it's been like a slow process, mm-hmm. I feel like. But I'm happy it's happening, though, you know?
I'm also happy that this library has been showing art exhibitions for almost 7 years now.
Wow.
So it was important to us. So
yes.
That's something
we... I'm so honored. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, you're going to be here in the very late spring. So
yes.
You're hearing this. I think you're almost hearing this, folks, on Leap Day. I was going to ask, is Leap Day something important to you? Because the cosmic solar calendar...
It should, but I totally forgot.
I mean, it comes around every 4 years.
Come on, Dahlia.
It's easy to forget. So I wanted to ask, yeah, more about what inspires your art.
Yeah.
Something like that. And when do you feel like you did ever, not to put you in a box, mm-hmm. fall into an aesthetic or fall into themes that you like to explore when you get to a canvas or whatever you're working in?
I've always tried to not be put into a box as mm-hmm. far as the aesthetic of my work. I'm pretty, I guess, eclectic. My music taste is very eclectic. I'm a little bit all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
My handwriting, even. Like, mm-hmm. it never looks the same, almost. Mm-hmm. And I think it's, like, because you're channeling different energies, very different. This is how I feel.
Right.
And so, lately, what I've been focusing on, I got into wellness and meditation.
Mm-hmm.
So, my last exhibitions, like the Rainbow Body one, is based off of kind of being present and kind of using the art just to feel good, to ascend, mm-hmm. I guess, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like I've been around, you know, all different kinds of art, and I wanted to create art that I needed, and I felt like maybe people might enjoy this. And it's gotten good feedback. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's creating something that I want people to use it, like to be functional. Like, okay, this is in my room for this reason. Gives me good energy. That's what I'm looking for. That's what I like. That's why I collect art, because I want it to give me a good feeling. You know?
Well, speaking of energy, I think there's an inherent radiance to your work.
Mm-hmm.
There's
always
a sense of light. Mm-hmm. Sometimes there are actual sort of like sun shapes.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm looking at, especially at this, a piece like Venus Lands is very interesting to
mm-hmm.
me. That there's some gold too. There's just mm-hmm. light and mm-hmm. shininess and radiance.
Right, right.
That's energy.
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
And the natural world.
In the natural world, yep.
Mm-hmm.
So in my home, I just have like plants everywhere. Because the colors really do something to you. The color red.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's even red light therapy that people get.
Yeah.
But each color has an effect. And I've been making these gold pieces because of how much light it radiates towards you, and you just feel good. There's
yep.
just something about that.
It's refreshing.
It's very refreshing. So, I don't know. I think I've just been exploring. I don't know if I've gotten to where I want to, but that's what I've been exploring with, just color.
That's artistic theory we're mm-hmm. getting into.
Yeah.
As well as, like, we're touching into the therapeutic powers of
yes.
art.
Yes, I've always been into that too,
okay.
like, you know, mental health. And I think that was kind of where my passions intersected into, I don't want people to just look at, and oh, it's something pretty, you know,
mm-hmm.
it is, but there's also a purpose.
Yeah,
you know?
For sure. I wanted to swerve us all the way back to when you were young again.
Yeah.
Do you think you can remember a moment or even an epiphany, I know you're only six, where you realized that art was just going to be a permanent part of your life, that it was going to be very important, you wanted to do it all the time? Was it looking at your grandparents' work? Was it something else?
I think, okay, I have an image. There was a poster that my mom had, and it was of Gustav Klimt. Do you know him?
Oh, yeah.
So it's, you know, he's the guy that did The Kiss. But there's one that's like a really erotic one, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And my parents had it, and it was just like this big gold, and it's of a woman, and I forget her name, that he kept, I don't know if you can even pull it up.
I think that we can.
I don't know if her name was Adele.
Adele Bloch-Bauer?
Yes.
I'm probably saying that wrong.
She's just kind of doing a half flash.
Yeah.
And
gold everywhere.
Yeah, gold everywhere.
Yep.
And I thought, like, what is this about? You know, I'm like a young kid. Like, my parents just have this. They love it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but it's, you know, it's of a nude woman. But in such a beautiful way, you know, it was done in such a beautiful way, and I realized, well, maybe I understand something about art, more about art than I didn't realize that, you know,
mm-hmm.
I wasn't identifying as an artist then, but I just felt like, well, why, I'm not offended by this, and
yeah.
I felt like, well, maybe I have some artsy qualities,
yeah,
and then early on, my neighbor across the street was an artist, and
mm-hmm.
she would have these little arts and crafts day on her porch. And that's kind of how I'm actually good at this, you know? That's great. It was the exposure, the early exposure.
Yeah, and this...
And the value, the fact that they valued these things.
Yeah, you know, of course.
It was beautiful, you know? I think that's what it was. That really turned me on to all that stuff.
So. Yeah, I mean, a piece like this, that what Klimt does, there's such a fullness to it, just to remind you
right.
of here.
Mm-hmm.
Of what inspired you, and there's such a fullness to what you do.
And I actually did I worked on a painting for Hutzel Hospital in Detroit that
oh, yeah?
was kind of based off that painting right there.
Really?
Yeah, it's really cool. It was for somebody that used to run their NICU center. I can't remember their name.
Okay.
It's so terrible with names, but yeah, you could see it there if you're ever there.
Such a fullness to that piece.
Mm-hmm.
There's a fullness to what
color,
you do.
Not the color,
too.
Color and gold. And
yeah. And I don't know, maybe when you go to art school, you'll learn about minimalism
mm-hmm.
and you'll learn about avant-garde. And those are things that are more challenging for
yes.
an audience, but you must be thinking of your audience because you're just giving them something. You're giving them a lot.
Yeah.
It's not like you're showing them this abstract weird thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that kind of goes into their
heart.
And
it's okay if it is.
Sure, sure.
People are only going to take it as far as, you know, they take everything themselves. You
yeah.
know, they can make, oh, it's just a reflection, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's just how I kind of learned to experience art.
Yeah.
It's really interesting because you get to be around people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, sometimes it's like being around kind of really pretentious people or mm-hmm. very people that get more into the idea than like what it's like to experience those things. I'm into the experience, like me as a person, because I still identify with both. I'm not
mm-hmm.
just I take myself super seriously as an artist. Actually, I took shifting my attention to my personal practice,
mm-hmm.
art practice, to feel confident about it, because I was supporting other artists for so long in my career, you know, my jobs, that I had to kind of like decompress and start over. You know, you kind of like...
That sounds like it was a really good moment for you, though.
Yeah.
To make that change.
Yes. And I think it was being around the children, too,
yeah.
that helped, like, get to that point.
That's great.
Because they don't take themselves so seriously. It gets hard when you take yourself too seriously.
Can you describe or talk about the ways in which your creative process has worked? Because this won't be coming to our library, but you had a show in the UFO Factory, and those
mm-hmm.
pieces were like 6 feet
mm-hmm.
by 6 feet giant
yeah, or
pieces.
Four by four. Yeah, but they're big.
But
they're
a variety of ways that you make things, and I just wanted to talk about what that's like for you when you do find the free time to work.
Yes. So I just build my canvases,
mm-hmm.
my wood paneled... Not really canvases, because they're not canvas, but they, you know, they're big wood paneled circles, big
mm-hmm.
spheres that I've had to learn how to cut, you know, with a jigsaw, which is really hard.
And sounds dangerous.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was like, oh, you do it for me. So I was having my boyfriend do it for me for a little bit, but now I do it.
Great.
And, but that was like an amazing thing to be able to, I like tools, you know, I like to be able to do it myself. Because it's a process, like while I'm working on the canvas,
mm-hmm.
you know, everything that's going to happen is going on. Like, and while I'm in, and I love going through that. I love just going through like regular, like thing, when I'm painting something white, you know, then I could just kind of go into autopilot
mm-hmm.
and then not think about it
mm-hmm.
until I get to actually put something on there.
The cutting is part of the art.
Yeah. It's part of the process. It's part of the thinking process. All of it is. So, I don't know. I like the fact that that I'm part of each part of it. You know, I don't want to like say that it's not good to buy canvases, but it's definitely better for me.
Mm-hmm.
I like to work on
a from scratch situation.
Yeah.
As opposed to buying pre-made pie crust
right.
for your pies.
Mm-hmm.
But how long does that take to make a cut like
it
that?
Takes a
2 hours,
time.
Three?
No.
Is it quicker?
It's quicker.
Okay.
It takes like 20 minutes or something.
You're wearing a visor?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And I'm going to figure out different ways to do this better, because I think you
okay.
can buy like, you can buy tools that make it easier
mm-hmm.
for you. But I don't do that.
How recent were those pieces?
Those, they were new.
Okay.
The big ones, yeah. Yeah. So I've been making these giant full moons. So
mm-hmm.
every full moon, I make a full moon. Try to find people that like that.
Didn't we just
they
have
do.
One?
Yeah, we had a Wolfman. Great.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I don't know. I just look into the almanac and whatever it says.
Yeah.
I'm into it. Because it's energy. It's real energy.
Right.
You know, we had an art opening that night, too, and I felt, I don't know, felt good.
Yeah.
I felt charged up.
Yeah, I didn't feel any sort of disruptive Mercury retrograde vibes, but I felt good vibes that week.
Yeah, it was a good week.
Was that process, the jigsaw process, and this, you know, cosmic disco vortex?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Was that very distinct from the way you would create, you know, Venus Garden? Is it very distinct from the very latest pieces?
Yeah, so the Venus Garden was a smaller gallery space, mm-hmm. and I knew that I needed to take up a lot of space, but not, you know, have more work. So I worked on works on paper, mm-hmm. and there were smaller works on wood as well.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoyed that because it was trying something new, trying collage. And I mean, I've worked in almost all like the mediums, but I feel most free with the paint.
We've been talking about color all this time. Mm-hmm. You're staring across at me and I'm wearing a gray shirt. We're in this drab gray room. It's a gray, cloudy day. And you're talking about your home.
Bring up the book again.
Yeah, bring the book up, back up on the table. There it is.
She brought another book.
And she's got another book. But it must be key to have, what is this?
This is a vintage book somebody gave me. And that's also been a influential book.
Tiger Flower.
I was really into tigers for a long time.
And Tale by Robert Vavra and paintings by Fleur Cowles.
Super 70s style.
Wow.
It's so beautiful.
We probably have to find some way to get some images in the show notes. 1968, yes. It's original copyright. Wow. Man.
Isn't it beautiful?
But here we are in this gray room on a gray winter day. I imagine you must do a lot of creating, I guess. I imagine you working at like sunrise with all your plants, right? And all this color.
Yes.
Is that something necessary for you? You just need all that color and light?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You couldn't paint us a painting right now, clearly.
Yeah.
There's none. just no energy in this room. But
you guys need some art here. I can bring you some art.
That'd be great. You know, you are going to bring us some art.
That's
Have you thought about any pieces you want to bring to this library exhibition?
I'm going to bring some new pieces.
Cool. Can you tell us a little bit about them?
Yes. So I've been working on these portals. I made one, a recent piece called Sound Portal.
Mm-hmm.
And what can I say about portals? Like, mm-hmm. They're amazing. You can travel, you know, through your mind. Mm-hmm. And I think it's about meditation, but it's also, you know, a visual representation of sound. So mm-hmm. I don't know if you knew that that cosmic disco vortex.
Yeah.
Some of those pieces were of cymatics. So there's like the vibrations of sound.
Oh.
So they made these patterns. So the sound portals will be like of patterns of sound. So of a frequency. So each one will be. Sorry, I had a hard time explaining that.
No, but all right.
It's hard because I haven't had a chance to explain this. This is really good, though.
Right, right. But also really asking any human being to describe art is completely difficult.
No, but it's really good.
That's really cool because those are frequencies that are.
Frequencies, right.
They're otherwise invisible to us.
Right.
So.
Right. So, I was just doing some research about, you know, people that do these tests with sound and sand, and mm-hmm. it creates these patterns. And I went on these trips recently on the West Coast. I went to Palm Springs,
mm-hmm.
and I went to this place called the Integratron. Have you ever heard of it?
No, but it sounds awesome.
It's an amazing place. It's like this perfectly acoustic dome that you go and they do these like crystal bowl meditations,
mm-hmm.
and it just sounds amazing. And they claim that the Venusian aliens gave them the key to live forever, to stay young, to not age, and that's through sound therapy to keep your cells happy and young, you know, like feeling good.
All those reverberations.
So, yep, exactly. Mm-hmm. So being very deliberate and with what kind of sound you're giving your body. So I thought about that. I thought, what would the visual, you know, version of that look like? So I thought about these portals where you could feel those frequencies or look at it or maybe couple it with the actual sound while you're looking at it, you know. I don't know.
That's beautiful because
it's the beginning
as an
of
artist,
something. That's why it's hard to talk about.
Sure. Sure, but I'll take it even further because as an artist you probably want to be connecting with whoever's viewing your mm-hmm. work, so you want to attain a resonance.
Right. Right, resonance. Exactly. Yes.
Just like the sound, yes, but you want something exactly. that resonates with them.
Right.
And they can literally see that when they see frequencies.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be making some of those.
Yeah.
We'll be having some circular pieces.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great. Well, we should.
I'm really excited about it.
We're really excited to have you come into this library.
Thank you.
I was going to ask real quick before we wrap up, you've shown in a bar in the middle of Corktown.
Yes.
Now you're going to show in a library. Have you shown in any other sort of unconventional places like that?
Is this, no.
Are we
this
kind
would
of
be
a,
great.
Okay, yeah.
No. Aside from the bar, no. This will be like perfect for me, I think.
Yeah, we're glad to have your art
Thank
in the library.
You.
We're looking forward to it.
I think the other kind of interesting one was at the Research Center in Ann Arbor. That was in like at their North Complex Research Center. So I don't know, Pfizer owns it or something.
Yeah.
So I do like testings and stuff there. I thought that was an interesting place to show art.
But going back to the same principle that would be in putting art in the hospital,
mm-hmm.
you just want people to be able to encounter it.
Mm-hmm.
Even if they don't have the time to get out to the gallery.
Right.
You can encounter it at your library. I think we should go.
Yes.
We should go check out the space and measure some spaces for you to hang this art. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
Dahlia Reyes has been here talking about her full, beautiful, vibrant, radiant art and a life in art and art and being a facilitator for passing that on to the next generation and supporting your local artists, which is so important. It's what we do here at the Ferndale Library with the library's Art and Exhibition Committee. You've been listening to A Little Too Quiet. It's the Ferndale Library podcast. It's brought to you by the Friends of the Ferndale Library. If you want to support this podcast, you can just go to ferndalefriends.org where you can join or donate. You can always reach us too if you want to send us a message. It's podcast@ferndalepubliclibrary.org. The music you've been listening to is by John Duffy. I'm Jeff Milo. Kelly Bennett's producing. Dahlia Reyes, thanks for being here.
Thank you so much.
And thank you for listening.